How many glad to be here tonight? Pecos, Texas, I've been told is a very, very hard, wicked place. A town that, according to the past, has been extremely prosperous and very wicked. A lot of oil wells, and they say that when the oil crunch came, it fell from the population of 16 down to 11,000. I believe that's right. And it has been a real problem. As of late, numbers of stores have closed up. And just as we came in here, it was echoing around that Pecos is dying. And people are talking about leaving. And it just shows what sin can do. The Bible said righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And apparently some people here caught God's attention, and He really prospered it. Saying, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. And He apparently really prospered it. But then, of course, when they turned and went the other way, then God began to withdraw the prosperity. And now, from what I understand, it is a real struggle just for survival. Well, you can be seated. We came here tonight to talk with you just a little bit. I tried to persuade David Paul to minister this revival. And he said he wouldn't. He said he'd help, but he wouldn't. So he said, if you call on me to do it, I'll cut out on you. And I don't think he really would, but David has, as of late, come in real strong into things of God with his heart fully consecrated toward Christ. And he was telling me, he said, you know, Dad, said, I intend to live for God for the rest of my life. So I informed my family that I'm going to do it, and said I'm going to do it with all my heart, even down to my thoughts, and see that they stay right with God. He said, I left you for a little while, so I won't never do it anymore. Well, I'm glad for those that come down. I can see that you've come a long ways to be down here with us in this meeting. And as always, our meetings have great significance. I feel certain within my heart that if God was not in this meeting or had not led me to this meeting, that Pecos probably would have been one of the last places in the world that I would set a tent or come to preach to. And it'd have to be the act of God. But still, this is what the Lord was wanting. And we're here. And it has great significance. Already He has revealed to me, in what I understand of God, what He's doing, why He's doing it. On this trip, I haven't talked with you for a good little while. And on this trip, I told David Paul, just before we left, what it had to do with, some of the things it consists of, why we were coming out or going out to Tucson, Phoenix, and then coming around through this area. And I explained to him, and it's real outstanding, fascinating thing as to what God is doing. God is doing a great, mighty thing on this trip. I had spoken to my wife confidentially about Tucson, and that we would go out there. This was a number of months ago, but I didn't know exactly the full extent of what the Lord was wanting to do. But I basically knew what was to come about by us going out to Tucson. And of course, when I got there, that's the way it was. And then of course, he began to extend the vision and extend the revelation in a great way to where I could get a better concept of what he was doing. And many things that we have discussed with one or two of them that was out there with us. What a wonderful time there. Out under the stars singing. He went off in the evening and was over near Catalina Mountain and had the guitars and accordions and different things and was singing, praising the Lord. And wasn't long before we had a congregation that was kind of distant. But we had a congregation and went on over into the early part of the night. The moon was shining real bright in the stars. And we just had a wonderful time praising and glorifying God. And of course, as time went on, we eventually went over into Phoenix City, Arizona. There where Neil Frisbee has his place. It had great meaning and significance at this time in what I understood. And we went over there. And then from that, we left and started our journey back in this direction. And I think tonight's about the 10th night that we've been over the Best Western here. And it's been plenty hot. I'm sure that you realize it's warm out in this part of the country. And I hear tell it's the same way in Georgia about now. I've enjoyed it. It's kind of a dry heat, as I heard David say tonight. But I like it. I've enjoyed it. And I've spent quite a lot of time in the West, in Texas and in California, and preaching in the areas of Arizona and whatever, and up and down the coast of California. And we've really thoroughly enjoyed it down through the years. Some of our children grew up along the road and in these places. And I'd just like to say I appreciate you coming out here, because as far as I know, I didn't tell anybody to come and I didn't press on anybody to come. And all of a sudden, so many of you come out here, and it definitely lets me know that you love the Lord and you feel like something's going on, or you wouldn't have come. And I'm glad to be here, because it has a great, great meaning. And it means a lot to me just to talk to God's people. You know, I consider myself to be the least among God's people. As a matter of fact, less than nothing. But even though I do, my enthusiasm for telling the old gospel story is rich and strong within my heart and soul. And great, wonderful things has taken place in the last month or more. And we're nearer, and Dad used to sing this song, we're nearer home than yesterday. And realizing that we are down near the finishing line as to the calendar. The calendar shows this year as the last year before the last 7 years set in. That could very well be the tribulation period. And this last 7 years, of course, added to the past years, as to this year, considering this year, it will make 2,000 years, which is the world ending. Every 2,000 years, there's a world ending. And now we are at the place of another world ending. We'll probably just talk to you a few minutes along these lines. And let's just read together. If you've got your Bibles, Let's turn over to Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the 22nd verse. We've read this many a time, quoted this scripture to you. Here, the church age is ending. And following, in the 4th chapter, immediately John sees a door open in heaven. Whereas we spoke to you many times concerning the door open in heaven. And just before we left to come out here, we got a little extensive with the thing about the door open in heaven, and we elaborated a little more than we've been elaborating. Then we had passed over to the 5th seal and the souls under the altar, and was going along pretty good with those things when we left to come. Many things about the 5th seal we did not say or talk about. And it was about the same time that David Koresh had said that God had given him the understanding of the seals and that he was going to open the 5th seal. Well, anyway, If you'll check, you'll find in the third chapter, it says in the 22nd verse, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." We've said that to you many times. The thing that we need to do is to hear what the Spirit is saying. We hear what professors are saying. We hear what radio announcers are saying. And we see all the jubilance that's expressed in their voice as Satan drives them to catch your attention and to entice you to the vain janglings of the world. Whether they are telling you about something to buy, or are they exaggerating over something that's really going to be nothing when you go out to see it. But whatever it is, you know, they are in their proper perspective of life and they're doing what they're supposed to do so far as the natural world is concerned. Always keep it in mind, if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father isn't in you. You can't possibly have eternal life if you love the world and the things in the world. And you're going to do one of the two, as to hear the Spirit or to hear the voice of the world. And you're going to do one of the two as to going after the world or going after the things of God. And the things of God are invisible. You don't see them with your natural eye. You don't see God with your natural eye, but God is right close by. He is above you, He is in you, and He is through you. Paul told him when he went up to Mars Hill there to talk with some of them, to preach to them, he said, "I want to declare to you the true God, the God whom you ignorantly worship. He is above you, He is in you and through you. He's not like unto stone. He's not like unto wood. He's not like an idol. You are the offsprings of God. What makes you think that God is some kind of a piece of stone or a pitcher or an idol or something of this nature when you are the offsprings of God?" You know, your children being your offsprings, why, they wouldn't, if they have any understanding as to age a little bit, they wouldn't think that my daddy looked like a puppy, because they're the offspring. Neither would they think that he looked like a piece of stone, because they're the offspring. So, we are the offsprings of God. And as the Bible said to them that are born again, "Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God." Not coming to pass, but already ye are. Ye are already sons of God. By your new birth, ye are sons of God. Though it doth not appear outwardly as to what you are or what you're going to be in the change, and you are going to be changed, but ye are inwardly a son of God. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, that is my spiritual inner being, as long as it is translated into the kingdom of God and dwelling in this tabernacle, which as of yet has not been changed, I feel to stir up your pure minds. That is the mind of Christ. See, and we are abiding in this tabernacle. Right now, you can't tell the tabernacle of God from the tabernacle of Belial to this extent. Every human body was made to be God's temple. And if you defile that temple, God will destroy it. And you can do that with unbelief and lusting after the things of the flesh. Remember, sin's in the world because of lust. Eve looked, lusted with her eyes, and because of that transgression of God's desire came, which is sin, and from sin came death. And it's in the world today, and it came by man and not by God. So then we realize that we're all in this world and we all look alike because we've not been changed. But inwardly, we are not alike. Inwardly, we are not alike. Our destiny is not the same. And my, if I had the time tonight, without wearing your patience, it would be so wonderful just to elaborate all over again to some of you and to some that hasn't heard it about this glorious, wonderful gospel and what God has done for His people. What He hath already done. You know, he said, "Well, one day God's going to do great things for us, Brother Pike." God has already done it. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I believe that God is going to do it, or I believe that God is doing it now." But see, it depends on how you look at it. It depends on how you understand it. It is true that God is going to do great things, and it's true that God is doing great things. But, beloved friend, it is also true that God has already done great and mighty things, and God has given you eternal life already, and before you was ever born in the world, He chose you in Christ Jesus, and by foreordination as to foreknowledge, He ordained that you should grow up into the full stature of Christ Jesus, going on to a full reward, the full measure. So it's very evident in the things that we're saying that Christ is with us all the time. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Like as when the angel appeared to me and Christ Himself appeared to me in Florida, putting the ring on my finger. I remember very well He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. And He always has. Now, someone said, well, Brother Pike, you've got a direct revelation. You've got a direct vision. You ought to be strong in the Lord. That's true. And Christ is my strength. But the thing is, He said, be strong in the power of my might. And the Bible says to you, not just as an angel to me, but the Bible says to all of us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. So then we know that God is with us and we know that God is leading us. And no matter where we go, the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. Why are you here in Pecos? It's because God has ordered your steps. God has made it so that He wants you here in Pecos. Now, does God just have a revival for nothing? Does God pick people up hundreds of miles away or thousands of miles away and bring them to a certain place without good intentions, without doing something? Would God, within a week's time, have a tent to be set here, which is almost impossible, and have that to worry just to have a little meeting? Or is God doing something? See, this is where we get into trouble. One of the things we get into trouble with is that judging God in our own human reasoning, then we lean to our own understanding when He commanded us not to lean to our own understanding. You're born with the spirit of foolishness in your heart. And the Bible said from your childhood up, you have to have tutoring, have to have correction, because this kind of thing has a hold of you. And you must be born again. The Bible said you'll never even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So then we've got to get our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open. The Bible speaks of this great, wonderful light that comes from God, which is understanding, even the mind of Christ. And God has given it to us, and it shined in darkness. The people sat in the regions of the shadow of death, sitting in gross darkness. But this great light, this great understanding, has sprung up unto them. This wonderful light of God, it has sprung up unto them. And the Bible said, because they walk in the darkness, because they are creatures of intellectual ignorance, which is reckoned for as darkness, then the Bible said that they'll not see good when good comes. And their eyes are beholden, they're blinded by the ignorance that is within them. See, and cannot see this glorious light. But we're not children of darkness. We're children of light. We know when the end of the world is here. The Bible said we know when it's nigh, even at the door. And even as to the signs of the time, said if you cannot discern them, then you are hypocrites. If you are out there tonight, I'm here tonight. And if we do not know the signs of the time, and we cannot discern the signs of the time, and we cannot tell that it's nigh at the door right now, then that means we're in hypocrisy. We may be going to church. We might belong to a church. We might be a good church attender. We might give to the church. But still we are hypocrites because we cannot discern the signs of the time. And the Bible tells us that we should pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. He should grant unto us the spirit of revelation. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Because what we need, beloved friend, is the spirit of revelation. That God may reveal all of these wonderful things to us. And He may open our eyes of understanding. That we might be able to comprehend this wonderful light. This glorious light. The heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this glorious, wonderful revelation. And even in the last day or two, God has tremendously been talking to me. The things that this meeting has to do with. Why we're here in Pecos. And numbers of things that reaches as far as Bethlehem. That's tied in with it. That reaches as far as the White House in Washington. that reaches way over with Brother John Lane and even the meeting that he's having now, and you folks being out here. And what a great, profound meaning it has. And the Spirit is moving all the time in the invisible world. God, the invisible God, Paul said, whom I serve with my Spirit. And constantly the Spirit is moving. And constantly we're watching the moving of the Spirit. You know the one thing that was so exciting about the life of Jesus? Jesus said, I do always the things that I see my Father do. That is, I always do the things that shown me in the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit does, my Father worketh, and I work hitherto. I'm always watching to see these things, and I do always the things that please my Father. See, does the world today do all things to please God? Are you doing all things to please your Heavenly Father? Your day, when you wake up in the morning and you start out in your day, do you do the things that please the Heavenly Father? Is it in your heart, in your mind, is it your desire to have a drive from early morning until night just to do the things that please the Father? Do you make the effort to please the Father? Or do you add all kind of things into your activity during the day? Do you incorporate God at all into your lifestyle? Do you pray to God to cast down imagination and every thought and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, that you might bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to where you won't lean to your own understanding? See, is this your prayer? Is this your search? Is this what you're trying to do? If you are not doing that, then you are missing the things of God. And it's so exciting to walk in God. Did you know that it is so exciting to me? I said this on numerous occasions, and I said again tonight. If I cannot do God's will, if I cannot do the thing that pleases God, if I cannot win souls, then let me die. Let me die. You know, when you walk with God, you don't have any fear of death anyway. The Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation, and that we have no fear of death. Before we are converted, we have fear of death. But when we are converted, we don't have any fear of death because we're not going to die. We may go to sleep in the Lord, see, before the chains. But I say, like Patrick Henry said one time, you know, he made a great statement. When the great man made the statement concerning liberty, I feel this way. Give me the liberties of Christ. Give me my liberty to where I can worship God and where I can praise God and where I can do the things I want to as service unto the Lord. And it was said, give me liberty or give me death. And I want that liberty. I want that liberty in the Spirit. Wherever God is, the Spirit of liberty, then that means the yoke is broken and there is liberty. You are liberated. The duty of the ministry is to declare these glad tidings of great joy to the people, to open the doors of prisons, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is what we're commanded to do. That's why we're here. To preach deliverance to the captive. Because we are free. We are holy. We are godless. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, with all the conditions of the government of today, do you believe there's liberty? Do you believe there's freedom? I certainly do not. I preached around the world, and I haven't found liberty nowhere in the world, not even in America. But I tell you what I have found in Christ Jesus, anywhere in the world, I found liberty. Let's give the Lord a hand. Can you say hallelujah? I found liberty wherever I went. I found liberty, and that wonderful liberty is here under the tent tonight. I can tell that you are at liberty in your spirit to worship God. The anointing breaks the yoke, and even before I came up here, that anointing was already moving. I could tell on David, Paul, and some of the others that the enthusiasm for being here for Christ already has broken the yoke. And I'm just exhorting you a little bit tonight, being the first night of the meeting. Don't plan to hold you very long. But I'm just saying that we are preachers of liberty. Again, I remind you that we are all alike as to appearance. We look alike because we've been born to the first birth. We're still, as to the human body, still subject to the errors and vanities of life. Though God has not given us the spirit of error, but we're still subject to the vanities of life. And Solomon, when he looked at all the things of the world, at all of his wealth, the Bible said he despaired of life. And he said, vanity, vanity, all of it's vanity and vexation of the spirit. the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And the Bible said the world, think about that, the entire world and all that is therein, that it is vanity and it will pass away. And you'll pass away because you're nothing but vanity. Everything is vanity and is vexation of the Spirit. That's why we need to draw in close to God, get out of this world, come out of it in our heart and mind, and be a separate people, and touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. To realize that all is vanity, all is diminishing, all is passing away, and that we don't want to pass away with it, but the world and all therein passeth away. I know so often people come back, you know, they come back with this kind of thinking. They say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to redeem this and to redeem those that believe on Him. And that is true. But I say to you, as I've often said before, He so loved the world in the condition He made it in the garden before the devil contaminated it. And He hath given His Son to redeem it back to the originality of that condition by bringing the restoration of the millennium and taking it on into the celestial world of the new earth. It is true that He does love it. He loves it in that way. But in its condition right now, it is under a curse. And He says, love not the world. Love not the world. When it comes to this present world, He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. So then we see a lot of times we misunderstand what God is trying to tell us as He leads and directs our path. But if we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, He will direct our path. So then what should we do? The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And while he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard this voice. He entered into this vision. He went into heaven. And see, that's what we should do. If we come to service, we should enter into the Spirit. Or we should enter into the things of God. I know, you know, the way we feel like entering into the Spirit is clap our hands and holler and all these kind of things. And that's good because that's what we do. We enter into the presence of God to praise Him. But the way you enter into the Spirit is by being sincere, by being very sober and hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And you might be on your knees in your bedroom and you enter into the Spirit. The Bible said, pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, pray with your understanding, sing with your understanding. You might be there and enter into the Spirit like John did, and an angel may just come and peer right there before you. Or something may happen. Something supernatural. God is supernatural. He's always doing supernatural things. Always. You know, you can appreciate the world because you have sustained of the things of the world. And everything belongs to you. Beloved, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. See, all these things I've given to you in Christ. But I give them to you before the world ever was. I rent the veil at Calvary. I've made them an open expose. And I have tutored you and taught you down through the church ages, bringing you from one glory to another glory as the inner man and the inner mind are transformed into that wonderful, glorious expression of heavenly treasure through Calvary that's been given to you in your earthen vessel, that which God desires to be made manifest in your mortal genes. Or that is, you're transformating in mind until you can come to the diplomacy of the change, which it looks like that could happen this very year. But we have to remember, as I said in my early expressions here, you've got to remember that God gave this to you before you were ever born into the world. And like Jesus said when he reproved some of them, he said, no man can come to me except the Father, draw him, and said, only those that God has given unto me will come to me. For many of them turned and walked away and would not walk with Jesus anymore after he said, lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. They said, that's a hard saying. Who can receive that? And they turned and went away. Even people that had walked with him like the 70 and had cast out devils in his name and said, the devils are subject to us in your name. See these great revivals, these churches, all this repentance, all the confession, all these kind of things. And 70 of them rejoiced in this. And he said, don't rejoice over these things as to spirits being subject to you. He said, but rather rejoice over the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, that is, make your calling and election sure, and make sure that you're one of the elect of God by His foreknowledge. See, God gave this to us before we were ever born into the world. And the Bible said He saved us while we were yet in our sins. And as I've said so many times as to Jacob and Esau, the Bible said, and Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, the children not yet being born, having done no good or evil, that it might stand according to the calling and not according to work. When they said, what must we do to work the works of the Lord Jesus? He said, this is the works. Finished from the foundation of the world. That is, in Christ, you are in me what God wants you to be. What I am, that's what God has made you to be. And now I'm manifested as to your glory. I've come in the fallen image. And I've come to be you in death. That in the resurrection you might be me. And tonight that's what we are. See, we pass from death into life. We're already sons of God. We are already the power in the resurrection as the body and bone of His flesh. And wherever we go, it's resurrection and life. Whatever we do comes to life. We have all power in heaven and in earth given to us in Christ. And He said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And what is that power? It's the Holy Ghost. It's Christ. Christ mastered the devil. He mastered all of his powers. He put it all away. And then He came to dwell within you. And tonight He's dwelling within you. And as long as He dwells within you, He's all power over everything. And the devil can't hurt you. He said, I've destroyed him that hath power over death. I was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And when He destroyed the body of sin at Calvary, He'd done away with all of the powers of the devil. And the devil can't bother you because ye are they that dwell in heaven. The Bible said you're not in the flesh, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit and you are dwelling in heaven. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and glory to God, we're in the Spirit tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. We're in the Spirit tonight and we've got all power in heaven and earth over the devil and all those kind of things. And God has raised us up to be the ruler over all He has. What is man, David said, that thou art mindful of him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and yet crowned him with the work of your hands by setting him over the work of your hands and putting it all unto him. Even though Adam lost it to the devil, but Jesus came to redeem it, and now we're right back where we started. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, then what is God telling us? What is He telling us? He says, hear what the Spirit is saying. You don't need to hear what Brother Pike is trying to say or what the minister is trying to say unless they're in God, unless they're true men of God. You don't need to hear what somebody's got to say, but you sure do need to hear what the Spirit's got to say. And you know what? The Spirit uses your mouth and my mouth, their mouth and our mouth, as long as you're sons of God, the body of the Lord Jesus. Then Christ is expressing Himself on the inside, and He's using you as that instrumental thing in the earth that you might praise God and that you might establish His kingdom in the earth. You know what? Everything is close at hand, folks. I'm telling you, 2,000 years ended. I want to remind you here, closing out with a few little words of exhortation. I haven't hollered at you much tonight, have I? But remember 2,000 years and the flood. And when the flood was over, a world passed away. Peter said, and the old world passed away. It passed away. And then He spoke of another world. And He said, concerning that world, He said, ye, speaking of the people in His day, He said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, because another 2,000 years was ending. And as a great calamity took place as to the natural world, the water life, the world of vegetation, so then in the world of human physics and in the world of human anatomy, a great phenomenal thing took place at Calvary. And as the earth was bathed in water, now then humanity was bathed in blood. There stood Christ Jesus, a vesture dipped in blood. Somebody say hallelujah. See, and now we're on our way again, and Peter spoke of another time. He looked out yonder and he said, and there's another one coming where the heavens will be on fire and the earth shall utterly melt with fervent heat. Isn't that what he's saying? So then that means that we are nearing that one now. It's almost 2,000 years gone. And remember how we brought it out about the world and what caused it to be tilted on its axis and why it would remain thus until this next 2,000 years was ended, and that at the end of this 2,000 years, the world would swing upright and this world would pass away as to another 2,000. The Bible speaks of worlds in the plural. And that with this, the new, not the new, but the restored earth of the millennium would come. It would come. And remember, it's just been 2 or 3 months ago, maybe not that long, that scientists all of a sudden, and they say about half of them, has agreed that at the end of this coming 7 years, that the world is going to turn up right on its axis. And if it does, it'll bring in the millennium. And you know, we said that it would do that. And I say this again, that every 2,000 years, at the end of it, a great calamity comes. Now, if the last 2,000 years is supposed to afford 7 years of tribulation, and this is the last year, one that we're in right now, before the great finale of the 7 years comes, then where does that put us? Someone would say, well, you don't really know that. I know it according to the calendar. The calendar's been right all down through the years. It may vary a few days here and there, but you can take all the calendars. I went down the line with numbers of them, and you can check them all out. And that calendar lays it to the line. 2,000 years, and we know that there's only 7 years left of this calendar date of ending another 2,000 years. Now, where does that put us? A lot of people say, well, I'm planning to do something for the Lord. When? When? What if this is the last year? What if this is the change? See, and we're going into it now. There's one thing for sure, the revelation is here. Paul got the revelation of the mystery, didn't he? Said, and the mystery was made known to me. Isn't that right? And Jesus said, it's not given to them that are without to know the mysteries, but to you it's given. Now, if Paul had the mystery, and he was the one that was sent to the church for the bride, to the Gentile, and here the revelation is today, and the mysteries are being made known today. For the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, even the deep things. And see, now here we are, and the revelation is here. The world doesn't know about it, because its light is shining in darkness, and they're too busy with the world, and the gullible desires of the flesh to even know what's going on in the Spirit. That's why I'm preaching to you tonight. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. See, now's the hour to draw in, get close to God. Forget about everything else. Seek the Lord, the kingdom of God first, and all these other things will be added unto you. I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. If you'll delight yourself in me, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water, and you'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves will not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. Hallelujah. All right, so then we know that times is looking bad. Another thing I'm going to say here, closing, is that our government has fallen. You know that. Wherever you go, you know that it's fallen. Even to the first lady, she don't want to be a first lady. And that first lady represented the church because John called the church the elect lady. And we've always been known in America as the lady and a woman's nation. And now, all of a sudden, it's gone. And the very pits of hell has been opened up. Like that little article that they put in the paper and showed the Trump and showed the president about to unlock it. And the little writing was, am I opening the gates to hell when I do this? And sure enough, you remember all of this thing which speaks of about the locust. We're not going to elaborate on that tonight. But see, now it has fallen. Now, if it has fallen, it indicates that the church ages are now at an end. Because America principally was brought for the church ages. I say these little bit of a few things to you tonight. Whereas to some, in discussing these things with them, I've talked with them for hours and just detailed the things to show how the government is falling, to positively show that it had to do with the church ages and that the church ages is right here to close. And then you look at the calendar, you look at the signs of the time. Like, for instance, a little article published not too long ago, and it stated that 98%, I believe it was, out of the girls from the age of 12 to 17 has already lost their virtue. 98%. And you know, that was the thing that Jesus used to heal the sick, was virtue. Virtue went out of his body. When you lose the virtue in the church, then Christ is gone. When you lose it in the earth, Christ is gone. See, when you lose it in your body, then you've got problems. So then, out in California, it was said that 58% of this group of male, that was gays, that was, out of that, there was 40% of them that had the AIDS. So we know then, the Bible said, just before corruption, and California is going down and going down fast. I preached up and down the coast of California, Los Angeles, Placentia, Anaheim, San Bernardino, I don't know how many different places. And there was a little hope for them along then. I've seen them in their makeup in Los Angeles when we would give an altar call. I've seen women with pancake makeup and lipstick and all of this Hollywood stuff as they flocked around the altar and cried until it looked like you dug a trench down their cheeks, crying out for God. And I've heard them make their confession there in California of having been gays, had changed and come to God and was loving God, delivered of those demon spirits. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Folks, let's get the love of the world out of us. Let's hear what the Spirit is saying, and let's get up and be about our Father's business, because I'm telling you from my heart, it's sad. I made the statement to Danny, I believe it was last night, I was talking to him after 12 o'clock, and I told Danny, I said, Danny, the trouble with the youth of today, I said, they're blind. They don't understand a youthful, a generation, the Bible said, evil, lustful generation. It's a whole generation. The way they dress, the way they walk, the way they talk, the things that they do. See, a whole generation. I said, what they don't understand is that God is merciful as they feel that He is merciful, and that God will receive them if they'll repent of their sins. His love will receive them. But what they don't understand is every derogative thing that they say and everything that they do wrong, coming to the knowledge of God the way it is in our day, that they have to pay for every one of those things. In sickness and sorrow and heartaches and woes, in pains and in miseries, that will drive them clear out of their mind. And not only that, all of a sudden their life is stamped out, shortening their days by their disobedience. And all of a sudden it is stamped out and they find themselves going into a lake of fire alive. You know, what people don't understand is that God is actually going to put them in a lake of fire alive. I know the Bible said, and in hell the rich man lifted up his eyes. And in paradise, Lazarus was there in Abraham's bosom. But the thing that they overlook is, though the rich man's soul was in hell, and Jesus' soul went to hell to keep our soul from going to hell. And the Bible said He suffered not the soul of His Holy One to remain in hell for our sake. See, but the thing is, what we overlook is that hell will have to yield up the rich man and the dead that are in hell, and that the graves after the millennium will have to yield up the dead. At the coming of that great light, the ground won't be able to cover them, and the sea will have to give up their dead. And when they give up their dead, you know what happens? The Bible said, and the wicked dead live not again until the 1,000 years was finished. When He says live not again, that means that the wicked will live. They will be alive. They will be called out after the millennium. Though we're called up before the millennium, see, in chains. But the wicked dead will be alive. When they come out of the graves, they will be alive. They will live again. And that means their souls and bodies will be reunited to stand before God, the great white light that's called the throne of judgment. That great wisdom of God, that great understanding where heaven and earth will pass away. Everything will pass away. See, and they'll stand there right before God, alive. And when God judges them, they'll be cast into the lake of fire, alive. Can you imagine that? Folks, eternally, there's never a change. Eternally, there's never an opportunity to get out. This is what the youth don't know while they're laughing and counting on the mercy and the days of grace while the blood is on the seat of atonement. They don't know that they have to give an account for every deed done in this body. And not only that, but Paul said, God will judge the secrets of your heart by this gospel, which I'm preaching. All right, let's stand together. You've been good listeners tonight. And I've enjoyed talking with you. While our musicians is coming back, let's think these things over now. Just ask God, what am I doing? Again, as I told my son, I've seen him get pretty discouraged, a young fella. And I've caught thoughts going through his mind, just like everybody else, you know, well, I'll just kill myself. I'll commit suicide. I'll do whatever. I'll leave it all. But like I told him one day when I picked this up, I said, son, listen. I said, let me explain something to you. I said, you've been born into this world. I said, there'll never be a day when you will end it all. There'll never be a day when you can get out of it. Even if you stick the gun to your head, I said, that won't get you out of it. Commit suicide, do whatever you want to. I said, but that won't get you out of the problem. I said, because man lives on somewhere. He lives on somewhere. He doesn't just diminish. He isn't just destroyed and done away with it. But he lives on somewhere. On and on and on. Once the life comes into existence as your spiritual interbeing, never again, never again will there be any way for you to escape. From then on, you are either going to be rewarded good in treasures and heavenly wonderful blessings throughout eternity, or the Bible said you're going to receive eternal damnation. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then that means that we've got a goal to make. We've got to make that goal. We've got to make that goal. There ain't no way to get around it. We can't just push it aside. We've got to make the goal. All right, let's sing a little chorus together.
He was wounded for my transgressions.
Sing that with me now.
He was bruised for my iniquities. Surely he has borne all my sorrows forever, and by his stripes I am healed.
Can we raise it just a little, brethren?
He was wounded for your transgression, and he was bruised for your iniquity. Surely he has borne all my sorrows forever, and by his stripes we are healed.
Sing it one more time with me.
He was wounded for my transgression, and he was bruised for my...
While we're singing, if David will help me here. The altars are open.
Surely he,
you're welcome to come.
Has
the great, wonderful opportunity for world evangelism.
Forever
and by the opportunity to receive
his stripes.
and escape eternal damnation. So the altars are open tonight if you'd like to come. Let's just step out. Lift up our hands. And you do this while you're singing and we're worshiping together. Let's step out for Jesus. Let's be bold for Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's praise God. Let's lift our hands up. You're in Pecos, Texas. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And let's praise the Lord. And let these people know that Jesus has people that love Him. You know, they can go to the ball games and holler. They can do all these things around the world. They can party. They can dance and they can scream out. All these kind of things. But where is the joy of serving God? Where is hands that can be lifted up in boldness for Christ Jesus? Where are those that will step out and be bold as the apostolic leaders did? Can you say praise the Lord? The Bible teaches God inhabits the praise of His people. He is a spirit. And tonight you can praise the Lord. Is that all the praise that you've got for God? Can you lift up your hands and praise God? Can you lift up your voices and praise God? John said, and I heard everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything under the earth. And it was saying, hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. And those beasts around the throne, the Bible said that they never ceased day and night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Can you say holy, holy, holy? Would you like to say holy, holy day and night? Would you to be in the presence of God? Can you hold out to just say hallelujah? Can you hold out to say hallelujah and praise the Lord a little bit? Come on, folks, let's praise the Lord a little bit. Let's praise the Lord. Where's your enthusiasm for God? Where's your faith tonight? You should be glad to praise the Lord. You love Him? Hallelujah.
He was wounded for our transgression.
And He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely He hath borne, O my sorrows, forever, and by His stripes we are healed. Oh, there's peace in the time of your trouble.
Sing it with me now. Help me, Dave.
Oh, there's peace in the midst of the storm. Well, there is peace, so the world is raging in the shelter of His arms.
Once again now, let's praise the Lord. Say,
all is peace.
While David is singing this,
and there is peace,
if
peace in the
few of you would like to step up here, like us to lay hands on you, we'll be glad to do it tonight.
Well,
to ask God to bless you. The Bible says, whosoever the minister blesses shall be blessed, and whosoever the minister curses shall be cursed.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible said He's there as God's vengeance in the earth to execute judgment upon the wicked. And that's why we're in Pecos. We're here to execute judgment upon these people that failed to receive this message and failed to receive the gospel. And we're here to either bring a blessing or a curse on this place. So tonight, you escape the curse. You lift your hands up. God's got you here. He'll hold you accountable in the day of judgment. You're God's women. You're God's men. You're God's people tonight. And you're set here to bless these people or to curse these people. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless your heart. Lift your hands up. And while you've got your hands up and they're singing, I want you to sing now, folks. I want you to sing tonight. I want you to praise God tonight. Let Pecos know that they have a visitation from the great, wonderful Heavenly Father. If you're His child tonight, forgetting those things that are behind, the Bible says there shall be no remembrance of former things. He's washed away your sin. He's took them away. The blood has took them away. And your sins are gone tonight. Can you love Him tonight? Your sins are gone. Not because you're good, but because He's good. Somebody say hallelujah. I said He's good. If you believe He's good, say hallelujah tonight. If you believe God has saved you tonight, lift up your hands and love Him. Come on, folks, lift up your hand. Give Him a wave offering tonight. Let's give God a wave offering tonight. I feel the yoke broken. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. I feel that mighty surge of the Spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Lift up those hands tonight. And love the Lord. Let's praise the Lord tonight. While we're praying, let's praise the Lord. Father, tonight, in the name of your lovely Holy Ghost, Satan, the Lord with you, even the Lord of heaven. In Jesus' name, Lord God of heaven, touch my brother tonight. May the great Holy Ghost, Father, touch this body. God resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Touch this little mother tonight. May the Spirit of God guide and move tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name, let the show be broken. We command it in the name of the Son of God. Bless this darling little baby tonight. Bless this precious child tonight. Oh God, let your blessings be here. Father, let your blessings be tonight. In the name of the single God. Father, bless this little one tonight. And Father, bring the joy of Christian living.
Trust and never doubt. God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands. Praise the Lord.
Oh, leave the dead.
Hallelujah.
Oh, take your burdens
to the Lord and leave the dead.
Can you give Him another wave offering? Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Come on, folks. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord while we're singing tonight? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the yoke broken tonight.
Take your burdens to the Lord.
I feel God moving. I feel God healing. I feel God saving. I feel God delivering tonight. Hallelujah. Lift your voices up. The Bible says like a trumpet. Lift them up loud. Lift them up like a trumpet. Lift them up loud. Lift them up like a trumpet. Hallelujah. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Give them a wave off and sing and praise God tonight. Hallelujah. Let Pecos know that God is in Pecos. Hallelujah. And sons and daughters of God are in Pecos tonight. Lift those hands up. And love Him tonight. Hallelujah.